Okay, all the witness hands again, Mayor.
Thank you. My profit sharing in my retirement, thanks you. I've been with Wegmans for 40 years. My first job out of school, and I think a high school counselor told me at one point that, you know, you spend 40 years of your adult life working for a grocery store. I would have said, get out of here. Yeah, we squeeze toilet paper. Anybody remember Mr. Whipple? If you take a look under the shelf or the roof of a modern grocery operation, there's all kinds of job opportunities, and I'm absolutely amazed that, you know, 40 years later, after graduate and undergraduate programs, I still am having fun every day. Produce is a really big part of our operation. What I want to talk about today is our response to locally grown, what we're seeing from customers, talk a little bit about organics, talk about the organic research farm that we set up a few years ago to understand better the challenges of growing organic product in upstate New York. I'm going to close with a couple comments on food safety, because that certainly is a very hot topic in the produce world. I use this slide in our the GAPS. Anybody know what GAPS are, good egg practices? I use this slide in our training programs with local growers, and I point out the fact that things are very different, because, you know, I haven't, you know, photoshopped out the pile of horse poop. This is where we started. We started in 1916 as a produce push cart. The name on the wagon is John B. Wegman. That was the brother of the grandfather of our current owner family. We became the Rochester Fruit and Vegetable Company in the late 20s, opened up our first store in the 30s. If you take a look at the store that opened up the slide, the PowerPoint presentation, and compare it to this, we've changed a lot since 1916. Today, we are still privately held. We're owned by the Whiteman's family completely. We operate in 5 states, 77 stores, about 40,000 employees. We have an extremely strong local program, a locally grown program. We've been doing it since the mid-80s. And in our market areas, we deal with between 550 and 600 local growers. I'm going to explain a little bit what that program is all about. We've been on the Fortune Top 100 companies to work for in America every year since that list was started 13 years ago. We've been number 70 and number 50. We've been number one. We've been number three times. The year we got number one, Mr. Wegman, who since passed away, was just ecstatic. He walked around for a year with a grin on his face like the Cheshire Cat out of Alice in Wonderland. Our mission is to help customers make great meals easy, to offer a wide variety of wholesome, healthy fruits and vegetables. So along that line, what's up with local? There clearly is a strong emotional connection between customers and local. On the way to the plane yesterday afternoon, there's a sign in the Monroe County Airport that talks about locally grown product and the benefits of locally grown to the community. People feel good about buying locally grown product, and we've been doing it since the mid-80s, trying to find a way to connect customers to where their food is produced. And I strongly believe that, you know, one of the biggest failings of American agriculture is to tell a really good story about production to help customers understand where their food comes from, because our customers, most of them don't have a clue. It's what do I need farms for? I can buy it in the grocery store. They don't connect the fact that there's a seed that goes into the ground and it goes through a whole growing and harvesting process, and it goes through a whole distribution process to end up on the shelf. It isn't, you know, somehow magically appear overnight. A lot of people think that. Certainly the concept of local fits well with regional food systems. So there's a connection from sustainability perspective. Although some folks, or there's a study just out from Produce Marketing Association that shows that when customers talk about food miles, they're the real strong factor for the fact that a product is grown locally, is that their impression and belief that it's grown, that it's fresher. They really don't equate locally grown nearly as much with the environmental benefits. It's fresher, it's higher quality, it's more authentic. There's a perception among some people that food, locally grown food, is safer, and that may or may not be the case depending on the practices on that farm. Customers describe healthy food as real food, it's fresh food. I think what this is showing is that there's a real kind of blending of terms and concepts and impressions about organic, about real, about fresh, about natural. I mean, what it's all beginning to kind of blend into one. I would offer the suggestion that fresh and local has become more important to a lot of customers than organic. This is a feature that we do in Menu Magazine. Yes, I brought one of these. I'll leave it up here if anybody wants to take a look at it. For those of you that know Wegmans, this is, we started this about 5 or 6 years ago. We publish this magazine 5 times a year. It really, it's got recipes, it's got stories, it really tells what's going on in the business. It's a great way to reach customers with information, and we do stories about local. We do stories about our producers, who they are, what their farms are like, what their families are like. It's a strong point of interest. Local business depends on the time of the year. Again, we have five states we operate in, and our market or our seasonal availability for locally produced starts early May in Jersey and runs through into late October, depending on where you are. If you take a look at the business from May, it's about 1% of our total produce business. You get into August when everything in all five zones is really, you know, coming to harvest, and things are really cranking. It's as much as 11% of our business. So there's a big swing, but you see it's a very major part of our program. We really focus on trying to help customers understand the fact that this is local, this is grown down the street. This is your farmer, this is who they are. And we do it in a number of ways. Menu Magazine, as I suggested, through emails that go out to top customers, through grower events where we actually bring the grower into the store and have them, you know, doing recipe preparation with their product and letting people taste it. We do ad plans, we do blogs, we do Twitter. You know, there's the whole social networking is really giving us some really fantastic opportunities to connect with customers. When you send out, you know, a tweet that says, fresh strawberries arriving at store X at 2 o'clock this afternoon, you'll be amazed at what happens at 2 o'clock that afternoon. Okay. ROPs, that's runoff press. Those are, if you take a look at a weekly newspaper, those are those glossy things that don't look like regular newsprint, and they're done separately and then added to the paper or added to the magazine. Food miles, we do maps to talk about food miles, but they're customized for every store. So you see that, you know, that's, you'll see a picture later that talks about, you know, this is from Syracuse. It says how many farm or how many miles to Quebeca Farms or how many miles to Reeves Farms or Emmy Farms. Talked about the grower events we do. We've done this now for 3 years. These are extremely popular and extremely successful. These are the ROPs. Again, they're the things that aren't part of the regular print operation. They're done outside. We do fresh news emails. We do signage in the stores to talk about when locally grown product is available in that market area. We feature pictures of the growers. We use them in our in-store ads. We use them in TV commercials. We use them in radio commercials. You know, when I've got a guy like Raver Cruzy in Rochester who's been supplying product to our stores for 45 years, and we use him in a television commercial that, you know, shows him, Ray, and his grandkids sitting on the front porch of his house, and he's talking about how long he supplied Wegmans. That sends a very, very positive message to customers. We show the sign on below all the folks in the area that we deal with during that particular season. What's different about our program opposed to others, and again, it seems like local has become the buzzword. Everybody is doing some kind of local program. Ours is very different in the fact that it's pushed down to the store level in terms of how it's run and how it's executed. We provide guidance from the store. You'll see in a minute some of the things that we do. But it's really as a store program. We try to get out of the way. We give them some guidance. We kind of, you know, it's kind of like a control chart. As long as they're within the top and lower control line, you know, we hands off. The purchasing operation goes down to the produce manager. The connection with the grower goes down to the store. Deliveries are set up between the store and the grower. Product is delivered directly from the farm to the store. It doesn't come into our warehouse. If you take a look at some of the other programs we bring on that feature locally grown product, you know, the big W, you know, Walmart. They're the big W, we're the little W. Walmart buys product locally in Rochester, ships it to Albany, which is about 200 miles away, to a Walmart distribution facility. It comes back to Rochester 2 days after that. By the time it gets to a Walmart store, it's 4 days old. You know, it's local. I would suggest to you that it's not fresh. Our product is picked that morning and delivered to the store that morning. You know, it's local. It's fresh. There's a real big difference. It's not without its challenges. You know, you try to, the biggest challenge is getting growers paid on time. We've got a good way to solve that. But, you get a grower who also calls at the end of the season, I've got 5 invoices that I haven't been paid for. So you go back and you start to backtrack, try to figure out, okay, where did the invoice go? What happened? Was it received, et cetera, et cetera? It takes a lot of work. There's nothing more maddening to a local grower than seeing their name on product they didn't grow. So keeping growers straight with the product and keeping them lined up to the right store can be difficult because, your grower X, you're delivered to the store for 5 years. The produce manager moves to store Y, and he wants to bring his growers along with him to his store, which means that you show up to the old store and you don't have, somebody wanting your product anymore. So we really have worked hard to overcome that. We assign growers as primary and secondary growers, and we give them set stores, saying, okay, you're going to deliver it to store 1, 2, and 3, and you're the secondary for store 4 and 5. So we really focus on honoring that relationship that's been built up over the years. Whoops. I talked about helping them with guidance. Again, it's really a store-run program, but we send them out QA specs. We say, here's what an ear corn should be in terms of length, size, filled to the tip, et cetera, et cetera. Here's a suggestion on what market price should be. And if corn's $11 a bag and somebody's got really outstanding corn, it's $12 a bag, store can pay $12 a bag. It's up to them. We don't want them to pay $15, but we certainly want them to be within market guidelines. Bag is normally 5 dozen. This is a page out of the what we call ICE, which really has solved our buyer problems or our payment problems. It's all electronic, based on email. Growers are assigned to certain stores. They have certain products that they can deliver, which we okay through the office. The neat thing about this is once the grower communicates to the store and says, this is what I've got today, this is what I'll have tomorrow, the store orders, the product comes to the store and a copy of this invoice is printed out, given to the grower showing it's been received, and the copy automatically goes sent electronically to our accounts payable department. So on average, growers are getting paid in 7 days. They love it. And the fact that we don't spend time anymore trying to trace back where those 5 invoices went over the summer. Whose pocket did they get put in? What shirt did they go into? How did they survive the washing machine? I mean, that's what happens. So growers are extremely happy with the fact that they're getting paid on time. In stores, we promote the heck out of the fact that it's a locally grown product. We use pictures, we use names, we do all kinds of events. Here's the map I referenced earlier. This is one of our stores in Syracuse. DeMarco and Sons is 19 miles. Emmy's Farms, 6 miles. Quebec's Farms, 18 miles to Kirkville, et cetera. We show, again, pictures in our ads. We talk about the Meet the Growers, and the Meet the Grower events, scheduled regularly events throughout the summer, where we know that the grower will be at a certain store on such and such a date. And we say, this is, come and see them, come meet them, come taste their product. Organics. There certainly is a lot of overlap now between local and organic in terms of what organic means. Most customers agree that organic food is produced in a way that's inherently healthier. We also think that high quality means food made from fresh, clean ingredients. I said earlier, what we're seeing is a real blending or morphing of organic and the concepts that would be equated with organic and those being attributed to local and local becoming more important. These are organic sales. I'm not going to give you dollar amounts. We're a privately held corporation and I can't discuss that, but these are what the sales trend looks like for organic product. Now you see that there's a huge increase from 1998 up through current. This year, we were down a little bit last year. I think that's the impact of the recession. We're up this year over last year 30% year to date. What happened in 2006, which really made a huge difference in organic sales, is we integrated the departments. Before, we had an organic section. So all organic product was someplace in the store, and it was set up as a destination site. What we did in 2006, which had this really big impact on sales, is we put organic carrots next to conventional carrots. In fact, for our bag product, we put conventional product and we just offered all organic. There'll be organic tomatoes next to with conventional, organic lettuce with conventional lettuce. If a customer walks into a store, they're looking for a certain kind of fruit or vegetable, they will find the conventional and the organic displayed together. So that's had a huge impact on sales. The other thing that's happened with the organic community, quite frankly, is they've gotten much better at growing product in a process where you can count on it being available, much better availability, much better distribution, much better price comparison to conventional. The big, huge shift or gap between conventional organic that used to be now is getting much closer. So from a price perspective, it's much more interesting to customers than it was. The Hartman Group is talking about some barriers to purchasing organics, and this was done in 2008 compared to 2010. On the left-hand side, you see the barriers, because the one barrier is the too expensive has gone up from 2008 to 2010. Again, I think that's the impact of the recession. On the right-hand side, the willingness to pay a 30% premium is down significantly. Yeah, it's the impact of the recession and the impact of local becoming equal to or better than in a customer's mind than organic. This is our research farm. This is just typical barn like you'd find on any farm in the United States. Come on, they all look like that, don't they? There's a story how this got built, but I'm not going to get into it here. I will tell you off-site. Why the farm? We want to understand the challenges of organic growing in upstate New York and share that information with our customers and particularly with our growers. We want to try to find varieties that really have the flavor profiles that we're looking for, have local farms grow them for us. I mean, the farm is not intended to supplant local producers and take, you know, that business away from them. It's to help us find varieties that we can grow in New York and make money at it, and then have growers produce those products for us so we can supply them to a number of stores. We're looking at ways to extend growing seasons with different production practices, fill in the gaps in organic production, helping local farms become more economically sustainable. Organic is one of the fastest growing segments of our business, so there's, you know, again, we're interested in understanding the process. We're trying to find ways to help people increase consumption. We're looking for partnerships with academics and others on, you know, varieties and production practices. And we go all over to try to find people that we can learn from. This is Elliot Coleman, who has an operation in Maine that's year-round production. On the right is Danny in the blue shirt. In the yellow shirt is Jim Heverly, who manages the farm for us, and they're up in Maine. You know, just trying to understand what Elliot's doing and what are things that are going on there that we can bring down to New York State. We've got full production. Again, when I say full production, we're growing on about 4 acres. So it's a fairly small operation. We've got heirloom tomatoes, fingerlings, asparagus, lettuce, and a variety of herbs. We do deliver to one store, and we deliver to a restaurant that we own as part of our operation. In 2010, we're looking at varieties and working on some projects with Cornell and Bejo. This is the farm. We're trying to understand the intricacies of hoop houses. These are things that we're working on in terms of research. We do educational tours for our people, limited access to the public. Here's some information we're sharing, helping folks understand the process of getting an heirloom tomato from a seed to the point where it's ready to be eaten. Real quickly, food safety, a huge issue for the produce community. We focus on high priority items, lettuce, leafy greens, tomatoes, netted melons, herbs, green onions. Those are the things that about 75% of the illnesses in the last 10 years have been attributed to, so that's what our focus is on. You know, the spinach outbreak was huge in terms of the impact on the produce industry. This is what happened to us with produce sales. You can tell when the outbreak, you know, pretty easily to pick out September 14th and what the date was. It's that, you know, bottom line where things just plunged. We've been doing GAPS training for growers since 2005. We work with land-grant universities like Penn State, Rutgers, Cornell. We work with the USDA. We work with a number of folks to help our local growers understand what it takes to have safe operations. We really focus on manure and water quality, soil amendments, hand washing. And we encourage the growers to use the USDA GAPS program because I think it's affordable, it's attainable, it's a good valid audit. They don't have audits. We can't do business with them. I want to go back just one slide. The big change that you've seen in the national produce industry is a completely different mindset than spinach. Harvest crews aren't harvest crews. They're food handlers. This happens to be in California, but you take a look at how that person is dressed in terms of protective gear, gloves, smocks, apron, hat, hairnet. You know, they could be working in a full-service restaurant someplace. Now, they're out in the field harvesting lettuce. So it's not harvest crew, it's food handler, and there's been a huge shift in the mindset of people. Happy for questions if there are any. Thank you very much.